good stuff. God is worthy of praise, and just thank Him for who He is this morning. And so I want to invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Daniel, the book of Daniel in the Old Testament. We're in chapter 9. And so our Christmas message this morning is from the book of Daniel. It's not specifically about Christmas, but it ultimately leads us to Jesus, and that's what all of the Bible does. It all points us to Christ. So I'm thankful. Sharing with some folks recently, you know, Christmas is always, it's a great time and it's awesome, but, you know, there's always some Grinches, and there's always some folks who don't appreciate Christ being included in Christmas. And so I don't know if you've ever noticed, people will put on their sign, they'll put Happy Xmas. You seen that? And you know, maybe they're just doing it as abbreviation, and then, you know, I don't know. Anyway, but here's the kind of fun part of that. If you'll notice up here on the screen, Fred, you want to raise that screen just a little bit for a moment? You'll notice the Greek letters here. You have two. You have a key, which is an X shape. Okay? And then you have the, it looks like a P, but it's a row. Those are the first two letters of the Greek word Christos. Christos, Christ. So when they take the X and they put that up there and they say Xmas, they're not really taking Jesus out of Christmas at all. Because you can't have Christmas without Christ. And so I just wanted to share that. That's an aside. That's all free. And no charge for that. All right. So this morning, as we look in Daniel, we're going to turn to chapter 9. And it's one of the most exciting passages in the end of the chapter, prophetically, that we come across in the Old Testament. But we're probably not going to get that far this morning. We're going to look at the first part of the chapter. So let me just take you back a little bit here in terms of where we are historically. Daniel and his friends had been taken captive. They've been captured from their homeland in Israel. They had been removed from the land to Babylon, present-day Iraq. And there they had been trained in the king's palace. They had been trained in languages and science and in all the learning of that day. And they were being prepared to serve the king in different capacities. And Daniel especially found great favor and was blessed over the entire book of Daniel. We just see how God used him, and he became a great blessing even to those kings, beginning with Nebuchadnezzar. Well, the captivity of Daniel started in 605 BC. All right, 605 years before Christ made his appearance on the earth, and so at this point in chapter 9, we have gone through some 67 or 68 years of captivity. All right. We don't know how old Daniel was when he was taken captive. But, you know, probably, let's just say 15 years old. How old would that make him? 15 and 67, 82. All right. So I would say that's a minimum. I could see it as being as high as 90 even. You know, we don't know that. And it's really not important to the story. I just want you to understand sometimes how we look at age. God doesn't have any thought about that. We look at retirement, we look at stuff, you know, man-made things about age, and God doesn't have that in His plan. I want to encourage you to look at life the way God sees it. Don't see yourself as young or as old, but see yourself as belonging to the Lord. And whatever He wants to do with you, He is able to do. Amen. All right, well, let's look together. Chapter 9, if you found your place, I know you've been up for a while, but we're going to stand together in honor of the reading of God's word. We're going to read through verse 19. Chapter 9 of Daniel, verse 1. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years, whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God, to seek by prayer and supplications, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God, and made my confession, and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love Him, and to them that keep His commandments, we have sinned, and have committed iniquity, and have done wickedly, and have rebelled, even by departing from Thy precepts and from Thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto Thy servants, the prophets, which spake in Thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto Thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day. To the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither Thou hast driven them, because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against Thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against Thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against Him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in His laws, which He set before us by His servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed Thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey Thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against Him. And He hath confirmed His words, which He spake against us and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand Thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil, and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all His works which He doeth, for we obeyed not His voice. And now, O Lord our God, that hast brought Thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hast gotten Thee renown, as at this day, we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all Thy righteousness, I beseech Thee, let Thine anger and Thy fury be turned away from Thy city, Jerusalem, Thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and Thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of Thy servant and his supplications, and cause Thy face to shine upon Thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline Thine ear and hear. Open Thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by Thy name. For we do not present our supplications before Thee for our righteousnesses, but for Thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for Thine own sake, O my God, for Thy city and Thy people are called by Thy name. Let's pray. Father, we bow before You this morning. And Lord, we have heard the prayer of Daniel. And Father, I pray this morning that You would bring understanding in our hearts and minds of where those people were and what Daniel did that day. But Lord, I pray that You'd bring into our hearts and minds where we are today. And I pray You'd help us to pray the prayer of Daniel here, God. I pray You'd help us to turn to You and confess our sins, Lord, to plead for Your mercy. And Father, we thank You. We love You. Lord, we are grateful that You are our God. And we worship You today. We praise You. We glorify and honor You. And we pray together, asking all these things in the precious name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. So, this understanding that Daniel receives comes approximately 538 B.C., 537, somewhere right in there. And here we have an interesting thought, first of all. Verse 2, he speaks about the time that this came, but he says, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet. And what Daniel does here, and it's significant for us, is that Daniel takes the writing of Jeremiah. We know the book of Jeremiah, it's a part of our Old Testament, it's one of the major prophets. But Daniel, who follows Jeremiah only by a few years, understands and he recognizes that the words, the writings that Jeremiah have given are inspired by God. They are Scripture. Okay? That's important. Because at this point, they didn't have the whole Bible like we have. They didn't even have the whole Old Testament. They had the law. They had some of the histories. But, you know, it was still in the process of being written. So they were in that perspective. But Daniel says these are the writings that came to Jeremiah, and they are the word of the Lord. They are God's word. And the one thing I would say to you today is do not mistake. You can say whatever you want about the preaching today, but don't mistake that this is the word of God. Okay? And I hope you'll hear the word of God before you'll hear me, and over what anything that I may say, because what I say doesn't matter anything near what the word of God does. But Daniel elevates this, and he brings the word of Jeremiah. And so let me just give you at least one reference here from Jeremiah. If you have your Bible, turn to Jeremiah 25. Jeremiah 25. Now, you've got to realize what has just happened here is the nation of Israel has been defeated. And they are now, many of the people have been deported. They no longer have a nation of their own. They no longer have a temple. They no longer have an identity as a people like they did before. Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. How would you like to have a weeping pastor? We're not real comfortable with that. That doesn't seem like that's really a positive thing. But folks, you've got to understand where Jeremiah was. Jeremiah was in the midst of the destruction of his people. And Jeremiah said, oh God, that my head were rivers of tears, that I could cry for my people. He was brokenhearted because of what was happening to his people. He cared passionately about his people. We've already seen that Daniel has the same heart. Daniel went to his window and he prayed after he knew that prayer had been outlawed, had been declared absolutely illegal to anybody except the king. He went to his window and he prayed toward Jerusalem. Why? Because he was praying for his people. He loved his people. He had a passion for his people. So, Jeremiah gives us this in chapter 25, verse 11. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity. and the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it perpetual desolations. Well, there's a couple things here, but God's given them a definite time frame. Daniel's reading these words. Daniel's in the Word of God. Daniel's listening to the voice of the Lord through the Word of God. Daniel's not just having a quiet time. Daniel's not just having a little devotional moment where he can get a warm, fuzzy feeling for his day. Daniel's delving into the Word of God because he needs it for who he is, for where he is, for his people. He's got to have understanding. He's got to have something from God. Folks, where's our Daniels today? Where are people who will say, I need to hear from God. I need to be in the Word, not so I can say I've read my Bible today, but so I can hear from the Lord. Well, God gave him this understanding. He said there's going to be 70 years that the nation of Israel is going to be out of the land. 70 years. How long has it been now since Daniel and his friends were deported? Approximately 68 years. You can see the timeliness of this. God is orchestrating. God is pulling things together. God is working, and He's about to begin to put His people back into the land. He's about to allow some of them to go back, and they're going to start rebuilding the temple, and then they're going to start rebuilding the city walls under Ezra and Nehemiah. And Daniel didn't get to go, from as far as we know. I mean, he was pretty old at this point, so I'm not sure that was a journey he wanted to take. But he was passionate. He was passionate about his land, about the city of his people, the city of his God. And he wanted desperately, he wanted those people to be restored to what they once enjoyed. And so there's a couple thoughts here. But one is that it's 70 years. And so there's a definite period of time that God says, all right, I'm judging you, I am punishing you, but then there's an end. And I like that. God doesn't say, I'm going to punish you, and I'm just going to punish you from here on out. He says, I'm going to punish you, but he said, what he's saying is, you know, this is redemptive. This is not just punishment. This is to draw you back to me. This is to help you to turn back to me. Folks, when God brings discipline into your life as a believer, if you're a child of God, if you're saved, if you've been born of the Spirit, and God begins to deal with you about sin, isn't it encouraging to know that that's not forever? Isn't it good that God's going to deal with you as His children, and He's going to discipline you now? He's not going to wait till you get to heaven. You're not going to answer when you stand before Him. You're going to answer right now. You're going to answer today. You say, well, but I did that, and nobody knows. Nothing happened. Oh, listen. You just haven't encountered God's payday. You just haven't come across yet what God's going to do. Be sure that your sin will find you out. But when God does deal with us and discipline us for our sin, thank God that He doesn't just continue on and on and on and on. He deals with us until when? Until we turn back to Him. And it's over. And guess what? He doesn't bring it back up again. Don't you love people who just keep bringing stuff back up again? I mean, they can't let it go. I was thinking of a different example. Let me go in another direction. And since Garland's not here today, I'm going to pick on Garland. We had a little incident that happened a number of years ago. I don't even know how many years ago. This would probably have been 12, 15 years ago. We were out working one day in the parking lot. We were striping the parking lot. And we had a little spray gun, you know, we were using to do this work. And I was helping. I was pouring paint for Brother Garland. And I happened to pour yellow striped paint all over Brother Garland's hand. I mean, you'd have thought it was permanent. He's never let me forget that. Now, it could be that because at the time, even though it was an accident, I will go to my grave proclaiming that. Perhaps I did enjoy it a little too much, and that in the moment, you know, you live in the moment sometimes, and sometimes Well, you know, maybe I got a little too much enjoyment out of that. And so he keep. But isn't it good that God doesn't come back to us and say, oh yeah, well, what about what you did back there? What about that? And somebody's saying, well, wait a second. Who's saying that to me then? Because I'm getting that message. Well, folks, it's not the Lord. It's the devil who does that. He's the one who condemns. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You've been set free. And you're forgiven. And when you deal with sin, when I sin today, if I ask God to forgive me of my sin, now, my relationship with Him doesn't change, but my fellowship is surely affected. But when I confess that sin and I turn from it and I ask His forgiveness, it's over. It's done. Well, 70 years? Man, that's a long time. That's a long time in the life of a Daniel. Think about what he's gone through. Think about what he's experienced in all those years and all that time. He's grown old in a strange country, in a foreign land. He's grown old as a captive. And yet here he is, pouring out his heart to God. Now, let's look at this because I want you to hear his heart as he prays this. He begins to ask God and to confess things to God. Verse 3, he said, I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. You know, your typical Christmas observance. Okay, no, it's pretty much the exact opposite, isn't it, of what we kind of focus on at this point of the year. But folks, I'm going to say to you, what Daniel was doing was he was looking at the devastation that had happened to his people. He was looking at the hurt. He was looking at the anguish, the suffering, the pain, everything that was going on. And before you say, oh, Brother Tim, that's got nothing to do with us today. That's got no bearing on who we are. I want you to go to the community of San Bernardino, California this morning. And I want you to tell that to those families this morning who are suffering the loss of a loved one, or who are visiting their loved one in the hospital who's been grievously wounded in the attack out there this week. I want you to go to them and say, oh, no big deal. Merry Christmas. Well, it is a big deal. And it falls upon us as the people of God to come and to stand in the gap and to say, oh God, how we need You today in our land. How we need You to heal and to bind up wounds and to take these things that are happening all around us and to help us to trust You in them. Well, now, be sure of this. And you heard the passage you read along with me a moment ago, so you know Daniel did not evade his responsibility or his people's. He flat out said, we have sinned. And he repeated it again and again through the passage. I mean, it's not just one time, you know, it's all through. Verse 5, he says it. Verse 8, he says it. Verse 11, all Israel have transgressed thy law. Verse 15, he says, we have sinned. We have done wickedly. He confessed sin and he was specific. I mean, he talked about exactly what they had done. Notice in verse 5, he says, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. And what we see here is Daniel is not... He's not excusing anything. He's not making up reasons why. He's not, in any way whitewashing this thing. He's not trying to make it look better than it is. He just calls it what it is. He says, God, we have sinned against You. And folks, when you confess sin, it has to be specific. It has to be specific. You have to get specific with God about what you've done. I mean, there's no point in anything else. He already knows what you've done. You know, He already knows, but we need to be absolutely clear. Call it what it is. Well, if my parents had just done this differently, if I just had this opportunity, if I had just had this job, if I'd had this opportunity, well, look, we can play those games all day long, and people in our society do. But ultimately, it comes down to, if I've done wrong, I need to be man enough to own it and say, God, I was wrong. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And God, I don't ever want to do that again. Would you give me strength and would you help me to be a changed man, a different person? It's not enough to confess your sin and then confess it again tomorrow and then confess it again the next day and then and keep on like that. You need to turn from it. You need to say the same thing about your sin that God says about it. What did God say about your sin? He sent His Son to the cross for your sin. That's what He said about it. Jesus died for your sin and for my sin. That's what God thinks about our sin. It's absolutely something that we need to give to Him. We need to confess to Him. Well, God had told, and you know, you may say, well, but preacher, this is Israel. This is God's chosen people. How come this would happen to God's chosen people? Well, He had told them up front. Turn back with me for just a moment to Deuteronomy. Back to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. And let's just get a little sense here of what the Lord says to His people through Moses back in the beginning, before they even entered into the land of promise, into the land of Israel. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 1. He says, "And it shall come to pass that when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee, and shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shalt obey His voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children, with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee, if any of thine be driven out unto the utmost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will He fetch thee." That wasn't actually the scripture I was looking for, but it's one I was going to in a moment, so we'll just go roll with it. God had already told His people, if you sin, if you turn away from me, if you turn away from my commands, I will send judgment upon you. I will judge you. Please do not think that, oh, I'm a Christian, I'm a child of God, I'm good, I don't have to worry, I can do whatever I want, I can live however I want. No. Absolutely not. That is not the case. God will judge His own. He will judge you and He will judge me. And I'm glad He does. And as I said, it doesn't have to be a grievous thing. It doesn't have to be a harsh thing. It just means that He speaks to our heart and we say, "Oh, Lord, I'm sorry." And it's over. It's done. It's dealt with. And you move forward. Or you can resist. You can harden your heart. You can say no to the Holy Spirit. You can deny Him the opportunity to free you and heal you there. And you continue on in the path of discipline. And it grows progressively worse. And for the people of God, it ended up in the Babylonians overtaking their whole country, slaughtering people, killing people, deporting people, taking people into captivity. Well, but here He says, when those things happen, and He already knew they were going to happen. He already knows we're going to mess up. He knew His people back then would mess up. He said, but when it happens, I will bring you back. I'm not done with you. Some of us as Christians, we get so disgusted because we messed up. We get so out of shape because I missed God's plan and I missed it. And Well, it's bad. It is. We need to confess it, deal with it, get past it. But y'all, God does not hold on to that. Don't you hold on to that either. Sometimes we need to forgive ourselves of things that's been forgiven and washed in the blood of Jesus. We need to forgive ourselves and say, you know, man, I regret that, but it's gone and it's past. And I'm moving forward. And guess what? God will use you. God doesn't reject you because you've messed up. God doesn't just throw you out. So He says, I will restore you. I will bring you back from wherever you've ended up. And folks, may I just say to you, if you're a child of God here today, it doesn't matter how far you've gone. It doesn't matter where you are right now. Our God is able to bring you back to Himself. He's able. And I want to encourage you because you are loved this morning. You are loved. God loves you. I mean, your mama loves you. But God loves you with a love that outshines your mother's love. Like the sun shining up there in the sky this morning. It's so powerful. Well, so here we see Daniel's heart. Now, in all of this, as we think about this, and there's a phrase here I want us to kind of just look at for a second because, you know, it sounds really, I don't know, severe. But in verse 4, when Daniel was praying, back in chapter 9, he says, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, in the King James. It says in the King James, O Lord, the great and dreadful God. Well, that word there, it literally means awesome, mighty, powerful. Okay? It's not dreadful in the sense of something awful. But folks, to those who want to turn against God and turn away from God, ultimately it will be awful and it will be dreadful. Okay? Don't mistake that. Don't miss that. Well, through all of this, Daniel gives God his due. He talks about here the faithfulness of God. He talks about God keeping His covenant with us. Even when we mess up, God is faithful. He doesn't turn His back on us. You know, He talks all through this about He's merciful. He is righteous. He is forgiving. And thank God that that's the kind of God we serve. Thank God that that's the kind of God that we serve today. That He is merciful and He is forgiving. Well, so Daniel, you know, he pours out his heart and you get a sense of just the depth of this and the urgency of this. And you might say, but wait, it's been 67 years. Why are you so burdened now? Because God has placed a burden on His heart for His people. And folks, I believe what today we need is for some of us to allow to place on our heart the burden of lostness and of the need all around us. There are people everywhere who need Christ. It's not just in foreign countries. It's not just in... I saw a cartoon the other day. Nora asked me to mention this. You know, some of our missionaries from the International Mission Board are coming home right now. They're being brought home because we don't have enough funding to keep them on the field. And, you know, I saw a cartoon of some missionaries, and the man was coming to his wife, and he says, "Well, hon, the Lord has reassigned us, and we're going to one of the most unbelieving and ungodly nations in the whole earth." And she said, "Oh my, where?" He said, "The USA." Well, we need some Daniels today who would be so convicted by my sin, but by the sin of of all of our people today, that we would begin to cry out to God and ask Him to forgive us, just as Daniel cried out here. Because what we read in Deuteronomy is it said, when my people turn back to me, that's when I'm going to restore them. Folks, if you're not back in the place you want to be yet, it's because you haven't turned back to God yet. You haven't given it to Him. There's a word here that one of the verses used. It's the word iniquity. It's a word we don't use a lot. But the word iniquity is contrasted with another word in the Old Testament. In the Hebrew, the word for righteous means straight. Okay? Straight. And we might say something about, that guy's straight as a string. He's, we kind of acknowledge even that concept to even today when we think about someone who's really a good person. But the word for iniquity is the word that means crooked, bent, twisted. And the contrast between righteousness and iniquity, it is so great. And my prayer for you this morning, if you know Christ as your Savior, my prayer for you is that you will absolutely turn from your iniquity to His righteousness, from your crookedness to His absolute perfection, from your bent, twisted condition where you justify your actions and you rationalize the things you do and the way you spend your money and the way you spend your time, and you excuse the things you do and the things you don't do for the Lord. And I pray today that you will turn to His perfect standard of holiness and of righteousness, and you will ask for and receive forgiveness every area you've turned away from Him. But more than that, I pray today that you will have a heart for our church and for our community. We've seen just recently the devastating impact of sin in our community right here in Branch. We've seen that. We need prayer warriors today. We need godly folks who love the Lord Jesus and are willing to begin to cry out to Him. Some of you may have seen this week the newspaper, front page of a newspaper, the New York Daily Times, I believe was the name of this rag. But they had a picture of the shooting in San Bernardino. They had a big headline that said, "God is not fixing this." And then they had quotes from various political leaders who were saying that our prayers and our thoughts are with these people. We're praying for these people, these victims. We're praying that God will help these folks in this difficult time. And then they had a statement down below. And basically, what they said was, if these political leaders would just pass more laws, I'm condensing and paraphrasing, but if they just pass more laws, instead of mouthing meaningless platitudes. That's what they think of prayer. That's what they think of our God. And the reproach does not fall upon them so much as it falls upon us. Because we are the people of God. And if that's how they look at our God, if that's what they think of our prayers, and I would suggest to you, we're not where we need to be. We're not doing what we need to be doing as the people of God. So this morning we're going to have a moment of invitation, and I want to invite you this morning, whoever you are, wherever you're at in life, I want to invite you to own what you've done. I mean, I want you to bring your personal list of specific things that you have messed up in. you've sinned. I want to ask you to bring them to God and ask His forgiveness. But more than that, I hope that you will come through that, you will come to the place that you can begin to cry out for this wonderful country of ours that is in so much need, that is hurting so badly today. It's divided, it's torn. And the answer is not politics, it's not a political party, it's not a candidate, it's not a legislation, it's not any of those things. It's Christ. It's Christ. He is the only one that can pull us together. He's the only one who can salvage this country. But if He can do what He did in Israel, I want to suggest to you He can do something amazing here. And He did. Because that country, yes, it was torn down and devastated and taken out of the land. Then they came back. Now, they got torn down again. Devastated again. But they're back over there today. God is able. Sometimes we give up far too easily and far too quickly. We need some prayer warriors today. But it starts with me. It doesn't start with my friend or my brother. It starts with me. Let's bow. If you're a Christian, if you're a child of God, I think you know in this moment what you need to do. And I want to invite you to cry out to God. And this altar's here at the front. Just come and kneel at these steps. Or you can make an altar right there where you are. But how we need to cry out to God. How we need to pray, seek God. First for our own need, and then for others. But if you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Christ, you've never been saved, oh listen, the very best thing in life is to have a personal relationship with God that comes through Jesus Christ. God has given us a way. The Lord Jesus went to the cross for you and He died on the cross. He paid at the cross. He paid for our sins, all of our sins. And today, if you will receive Him by faith, if you will trust Him, believe in Him, the Bible says that He will save you. He will forgive you of every sin because He paid for them at the cross. If you've never been saved, but you'd like to be, I want to invite you right now, right where you are, in your own heart, I want to invite you to just breathe a prayer, something like this. Say, oh God, I need You. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. And I ask You to come into my life today. Change me. Save me. It's not certain words you say. It's not certain prayer you pray. It's faith from your heart. It's turning in your heart from your sin to Christ. Saying, God, I've seen what I can do. I don't want that anymore. I want what You can do. Open up your heart to Him today. And then I want to invite you to not just pray a prayer in your heart, but I want to encourage you. Once you've prayed that prayer and you firmly put your faith in Him, confess Him. Let others know. You can do that today. You can grab me during this invitation time. You can come by as we're closing the service. You can let me know. Father, I thank You for every person here today. And I thank You for Your love for us. And Lord, we're all sinners. And that's the place we start today. I pray for my brothers and sisters who know You today. I pray You'll help them. If in their hearts they've tolerated sin and they've excused behavior and they've allowed stuff to be there in their life that shouldn't be, God, I pray You'll help them even right now to turn to You and to confess those things and ask Your forgiveness. And Father, I pray that You will meet with them. I pray You will speak to them. I pray You will do a mighty work in them. Draw them to Yourself, Lord. Lord, set us free. And Father, there may be some specific things that You're doing today in people's hearts. I pray You'll have freedom, God, just to speak and work. And draw us near. Set us free, Jesus. We need You. Lord, if there's even one who doesn't know You, or maybe just a moment ago just opened up their heart to you and prayed a prayer of faith, repentance, turning to you, God, would you give them what they need for a next step now? Help them to be bold, to let others know they've invited you into their life and they're saved now. Heavenly Father, we just give you praise this morning. You are mighty, you're good, you're forgiving, you're merciful. Lord, you're righteous. And so we thank you for the Word of God. We just ask that you'll have freedom in this moment by your Spirit.